The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. He's on vacation this week. Jeffy is here as well. Over the weekend, we learned a little bit more about the murderer in Santa Fe, Texas, at Santa Fe High School. But not a lot. Not a lot. Apparently, the killer was just targeting kids he didn't like. If you'd been mean to him, I guess, if you picked on him, you were a target. And then he apparently spared the lives of people he did like so that his story could be told, which is, it's what we've talked about a lot. I think a lot of this happens because of notoriety. They want to be famous.
Right.
They want the publicity. They think somehow that's a good thing when they're spoken of in this way, which is why we don't give the names at all of this. David Hogg tweeted out something over the weekend from, the Parkland activist. The first thing I think I've ever agreed with him on, and that's stop naming the killers here. Stop giving them that sense of notoriety.
Many places are, which is good.
Yes.
Many places are, which is good. And according to Governor Abbott, I thought he was the reason that he left some of the people that he liked was because he was originally going to kill himself too, and then couldn't go through with it.
Wow.
I mean,
and that's why he's in custody now, and we'll you can actually speak to him personally about his motives. Really sad story about a mom whose daughter was murdered on Friday. Apparently she believes that this had something to do with her daughter because he was hounding her. This murderer hounded her for in the previous months leading up to this to try to go out with him. And her daughter kept saying no. Shanna Fisher is her name, and she had 4 months worth of problems from this boy, according to her mom. Kept making advances on her, and she repeatedly told him no. And the mother, Shanna's mother, says she was the first one killed. Now I don't know if she knows that for certain or she's just guessing, but he opened fire on her apparently because she spurned his advances. There's just a problem there, a disconnect there where kids can, be disappointed or picked on or feel badly, be humiliated, not have a good experience at school. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people have had that experience. Jeffy has that experience in adulthood. But there's some kind of disconnect now where they can actually go to the next level and kill people because of it.
Amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And horrifying at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I don't know that you can make the case maybe that, it all began with the, everybody gets a medal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even before then. But I mean, somewhere along the line, they get the justification that someone told me no.
Yeah, and they can't handle it. They can't handle rejection. They can't handle abuse in this way. And maybe that is because they've been so pampered and babied. And we try to take every little thing away from them that might be negative. When, in fact, they should be learning from these negative events so that they can become stronger from it. You know, that's what this life is kind of all about, is becoming stronger and learning how to cope. And just dealing with things on a daily basis. So, 10 people gone as a result of whatever was going on inside this killer's mind. There will be no death penalty because in Texas, if you're under 18, you can't be charged with, you can't receive the death penalty. So, the most that could happen to him is life in prison with the possibility of parole after 40 years. You could see this guy released when he's 57 years old. Now, I don't know that they would release him, but that's a
probably not.
It's a ways down the road. But really, really, really tragic and really, really sad. And we still, I mean, the only thing I've seen is kind of the speculation of, and maybe he told the police that that's why he did it, was because he was just targeting kids he didn't like. No other justification. And it's really hard to justify. You know, we always want to know the reason.
Right. Of course.
And when you're this sick that you can exercise the ability to kill people, it's not comprehensible to most of us.
Right. No matter what reason they give, it's never going to be enough for the sane mm-hmm. human beings.
Right. So it's such a difficult situation, and everybody is demanding answers. Everybody's demanding a solution. I don't know what the solution is, because we won't talk about the actual things that are going wrong inside people's minds. We actually won't talk about what's broken in this generation of people. And until we start dealing with that, rather than the gun grab, we're not going to get anywhere with this. It's really unfortunate. Incoming NRA President Oliver North says these school shootings are the product of a culture of violence, not the Second Amendment. The problem is that we're trying the Dickens to treat the symptom without treating the disease. That's exactly right. And the disease in this case isn't the Second Amendment. The disease are the youngsters who are steeped in a culture of violence. Nearly all of these perpetrators are male, and they're young teenagers in most cases, and they've come through a culture where violence is commonplace, North said. All we need to do is turn on a TV, go to a movie. If you look at what's happened to the young people, many of these young boys have been on Ritalin since they were in kindergarten. Now, I'm certainly not a doctor. I'm a Marine. But I can see those kinds of things happening. And, you know, the left gets, they go out of their minds when they hear things like this. Because the only acceptable solution for them is to take guns out of the hands of Americans. Whereas more and more now, people, at least on the right, are starting to say, hey, there's some other factors here. Maybe the drugs that they're taking, maybe the games that they play, maybe the movies that they watch. But a combination of all of those things and a desensitizing of these kids to human life. But nobody else wants to hear that. Nobody on the left will even entertain the possibility. And here you have, who was it that said over the weekend that brought into it not just mental health issues, not just the desensitizing through video games and movies, but also brought up Planned Parenthood, also brought up abortion and our culture of abortion. Now we're telling kids, aren't we? Every single day through the Planned Parenthood branch that, yeah, killing children is fine.
Yes, we are. We are most definitely telling them that every day.
How can that not factor into it? We've created this culture of death and a culture where it is okay to take the life of a human infant clear up to 22, 24, 30 weeks in some cases. And if that's not teaching young people that human life is not worth much, I don't know what is. When you've had the death of 60 million babies since 1973, I think that, you know, you've created a mindset where that can't help but factor into it. 888-727-BECK in this particular case. The other number is for my show on the Blaze Radio and Television Network, Pat Unleashed. Also, we got to tell you about the U.S. and China supposedly calling off the trade war. That may now, it's on again, it's off again, it may be off again. So we'll get into that. Also, the Pope had some more interesting comments to make over the weekend. We'll try to decipher some of that.
Good, I bet.
Yeah, oh, yes. Always good.
Good, I bet.
Yeah. Always good with this
Pope. I want to
make
sure that you had the right tone in your voice when you were mentioning the Pope.
Yes. Okay. Well, to some, this is going to be very good. I'm not sure how devout Catholics feel about it, but to some, this will be very good. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. In a world gone mad, over the weekend, there was a couple of big speeches from Al Gore, for one. Al Gore spoke at Maryland's commencement.
Correct.
And Hillary Clinton spoke at Yale. There's some profound things they had to say and wisdom to impart to the kids. And I'm glad they were able to do that.
I had the opportunity to listen to, well, not all of it. I mean, I listened last night. I wish I would have been there live, of course.
But, of course.
I listened last night when I had the opportunity. And
to which one?
I mean, to Hillary.
Okay.
And I made it, you know, I made it 19 minutes in.
I mean, that's laudable right there. That's seriously, Jeffy, above and beyond the Call of Duty.
I got to listen to it, hear what Hillary has to say or what she says. And as
that's hard to take.
I'm laying there and my wife walks by. Why are you listening to that?
It's just really hard to take. Here's a little bit of what she had to say.
I still think, though, that understanding what happened in such a weird and wild election in American history will help us defend our democracy in the future.
Yeah, except we don't have a democracy.
they all hammer that into the ground, though.
And you know why? Because democracy to them, it's code for socialism. They always call these socialist states, you know, democratic, and they're not. And that's what they're trying to push on us.
Whether you're right, left, center, Republican, Democrat, independent, vegetarian, whatever.
See, that's so funny.
See how nice and friendly she sounds?
And
she's so good.
Yeah.
She's just reeling the crowd right in.
Oh, yeah. She's one of us.
We all have a stake in that. So today, as a
vegetarians, we all have a stake in that.
Person, I'm okay, but as an American, I'm concerned.
I think it's debatable as whether she's okay as a person. I tend to disagree with that.
There's a number of people that vehemently disagree with that.
You know, so she is at Yale doing this speech, and in part of the speech, we don't have time to play all of it or the interest to.
What?
She also badmouthed Harvard. And at Harvard, she's getting their big prestigious award.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. She bashes Harvard, and then right off the bat, I mean, almost immediately after that, they announced that they're giving her their prestigious award,
Harvard Medal, and that's given for somebody who has had a transformative impact on society.
Now, that may have been they may have announced that prior to her bashing them at Yale.
Could be, yes.
They might be a little ticked today.
Yes.
Like, Hillary, why are you bashing us? But that was, that was times past. That's not today.
Organizers say she was chosen because she's, quote, a champion for human rights, a skilled legislator, and an advocate of American leadership. Now, I would challenge Harvard to name one piece of legislation. If she's such a skilled legislator, tell me what Hillary Clinton penned. I'd love to know. No one can name. We've seen this question asked of all kinds of Hillary supporters, especially during the election cycle in 2016. And, well, she's really good and a defender of women's rights, and she's a powerful woman, and she's the former first lady. Yeah, none of that is a reason to vote for her. What? What has she ever done that has transformed our society?
while she was...
Well, she did destroy the lives of pretty much every woman who spoke out against her husband.
And then there was...
There's that.
And there was...
Yeah, that's about all I can come up with. But maybe somebody knows some legislation that she has crafted that has transformed our society. I'd love to know. Unless Harvard just now hands these out like Nobel Prizes.
I'm sure they do.
Like a Nobel Peace Prize when you haven't done a single thing and you've been in office for 2 weeks and you get the award. It's just, isn't it sad that in the case of the Nobel Prize for Peace that Obama won, the Harvard Medal, which Hillary is going to be awarded, you can't even name a single accomplishment for them to be receiving these awards.
I will have one, at least a bill that she co-sponsored.
Okay.
She was one of 54 co-sponsors on the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
Oh, that's right, the Lilly Ledbetter Act. Fair they love Act. The Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
You know they're all about her for that.
And she didn't even write it.
I apologize for not recalling the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
Well, we should, because they hammered that all.
Yeah, I know.
All during the election cycle. It's just agonizing. The other thing about this, with Hillary speaking at Yale, and you had John Kerry over the weekend speaking in Dubai, seemed like that was something to do with New York, NYU. New York University. What are they doing in Dubai? Because it was NYU who said nobody can record the conversation that Kerry was having with the audience. You had Al Gore at Maryland. When is a conservative going to be invited to any major college?
What time is it right now?
It's the never o'clock right now.
That's exactly when it's going to happen.
That's when it's going to happen. It's never going to happen. Are you telling me that these kids wouldn't benefit from hearing from, I don't know, Glenn? Would they benefit from hearing from Rush? Can you imagine? I mean, you can't even envision a time when Yale or Harvard or Princeton or any Ivy League school or any major school would invite Rush Limbaugh to speak at a commencement.
To talk about capitalism?
Yeah.
And to talk about the greatness of America?
Only Liberty University would invite any of those guys.
Yeah.
They did invite Glenn. I can't think of anybody else who would even consider inviting anybody on the right. You know, and let's say it's not a talk show host, because that could be controversial. What about a sitting U.S. Senator, Ted Cruz, who went to Princeton, who graduated from Princeton and Harvard?
Yeah, he went to Harvard Law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying Ted Cruz couldn't impart anything valuable to these kids? Never would they invite Ted Cruz to speak at Harvard's ceremony or Princeton's. It would not happen.
No way. I mean, it's tough to hear about those guys. Maybe they do, and it just doesn't get reported on, but I doubt it, that those guys would do, you know, Ted Cruz at the Houston Junior College.
I'm going to look into what is the most prestigious college, university that a conservative has ever spoken during a commencement. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, they would.
I can't think of a single instance, and we've been doing this for a long time.
I mean, we all get happy when we have guys like Jim Carrey show up and say two words that are
that we like. Yes.
And then he speaks again and we're like, you should have left it. Why?
You shouldn't have kept going. It was not good.
Stop.
This was the very beginning of Al Gore's speech at Maryland.
This is an occasion, it has become the kind of occasion where speakers are invited to give personal advice, and I'm not advice. In the habit of doing that.
Right.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say a few words about our American democracy.
Again, we don't have an American democracy.
And then you would be surprised if I did not say a few words about the climate crisis.
And again, there is no climate crisis, so...
Wait.
Hold it. Just denied science right there.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy today. Glenn is on vacation. 888-727-BECK. Over the weekend, David Hogg tweeted out something interesting. He said, if we can get over 30,000 comments on this, we can bump stocks. They can bump stocks. Even if you can't vote, you can comment. Congress isn't needed to ban bump stocks. Comments are. It's quick and easy to do.
Really?
To that, my producer for Pat Gray Unleashed responded in his tweet. You must follow David Hogg. The often overlooked Twitter comment clause of the Constitution. Founding Father George Mason insisted on its inclusion.
Yes, he did.
But it took David Hogg to find it.
That's really funny.
This is why you don't allow 17 and 18-year-olds to make U.S. policy. That's why. Okay? They don't know what they're talking about. And for some reason, it's crazy to suggest that, but it's so obvious that how can you do anything but suggest that? 888-727-BECK. We're going to get into the Al Gore comments. He had some other comments on American democracy and, of course, tied in Donald Trump coming up in a few minutes. And it's just, it's agonizing that we have to continually hear from these old relics like Al Gore and Hillary Clinton. You lost, okay? And you lost multiple times.
And they keep dragging them out, man.
Move on.
They will not move on.
I guess they have nothing else to do. The only thing they can think to do is get out and complain about the fact that they don't have the executive office anymore.
Well, Al doesn't need the money, but Hillary might.
Yeah, right? She's only worth $100 million plus, she and Bill. They've made a lot of money. And who knows how much they scam out of the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, I know, but that's practically nothing now, right?
The Clinton Foundation? Yeah. I'm sure it's been impacted.
A lot.
Yeah.
She's not able to fly over. No, never mind. As Secretary of State, she would not do anything illegal.
Wouldn't even suggest such a thing. No, I'm glad you stopped yourself, Jeffy. I'm glad you stopped yourself. Let's go to Winona in Texas. Winona, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hey.
Hi. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Mm-hmm. What's up?
I'm thinking about these school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a gun problem. It's a sanctity of life problem.
Mm-hmm.
When we removed the barrier with Roe v. Wade and said that life in the womb didn't matter.
Yeah, it's meaningless.
We removed sanctity of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have taught generations of children that it doesn't matter. So in the mind and in the heart, sanctity of life is not real.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a contributing factor. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Winona. It can't help but be. You can't help but send that signal to our youth that
it's okay.
Life is meaningless.
It's okay.
Yeah, you can go ahead and just sweep that mistake out of your body. We don't want you to be punished with a baby.
Right.
I don't want you punished with a STD at 16.
Well, no consequences for your actions. No consequences whatsoever.
And how long have we... I mean, we heard that from the President of the United States.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old.
Older
I'm
going to
teach
now,
them, first of all, about values and morals.
Okay, first of all, he's going to teach them about values and morals. So that's a good thing, right? That's a decent start.
But if they make a mistake...
If they make a mistake...
I mean...
I don't want them punished with a baby.
Right. So he's going to teach them principles and values.
And morals. But then
I'm going to teach them that those don't really matter because if you do make a mistake, there's going to be no consequences from it. We'll just sweep that mistake out of your life as if it was never there.
Well, they matter, but...
It doesn't matter. Not really.
Nobody wants to be punished.
Look at you. We don't want to punish you with a baby and, you know, force you to carry that to term and maybe give it up for adoption. There's millions and millions of families looking to adopt.
There'd be no possible way that his daughters would be able to avoid becoming abortion ready. I don't want to call them pregnant because that would mean that they'll say there was a child in there. But becoming abortion ready.
Yes, right.
There'd be no possible way that they could do that without actually not doing anything.
This can't help but have an impact on the mindset of the human population of this planet. How can you not show them that it's okay to do that 60 million times in the last 45 years and that not impact their lives and their thinking?
Absolutely.
And devalue human life? It's impossible. It's impossible for that not to have an impact. Then you add to it all the other things. I mean, Oliver North is being ridiculed for saying this, but you're talking about, I don't know, video games and movies and all the violence that enters our minds on a regular basis. A lot of people will say that doesn't have any impact, but maybe for some it does. And we should definitely stop and consider this. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it. 888-727-BECK. Are you aware also that Time Magazine is going out of business? It's being sold for parts now, essentially. Time started in 1922. And
they're just on, are they just online? Or no, we see them in the grocery store.
No,
right?
they still publish.
On paper, yeah.
They still publish. But they're pretty much going the way of the dinosaur and Newsweek magazine and all these other magazines.
I mean, really, I apologize for having to ask, but that's where we're at now, right? I mean, I see them, if they're in the grocery store line, they're still being published.
When was the last time you purchased a Time magazine or subscribed to Time magazine?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I wouldn't even consider it now. Wouldn't even think about Time magazine. So that's going out the window. And I think the same thing is going to happen to newspapers across the country. New York Times eventually will fold up. The Denver Post is having that problem right now.
Yeah, they're fighting again. I mean, they're doing their best to eliminate as many jobs to stay alive as they can.
And I don't think it's only because of modern technology. I think it also has to do with their editorial content, with the fact that you can't. They only play to half the country here.
Right.
The other half of the country doesn't want anything to do with them,
right?
Because they're not just reporting news anymore. They're taking a stand on the issues, and that can't help it but bring them down.
That is actually boasted. I know we've joked around a little bit about the local newspapers that end up in your driveway or your front yard, but those local newspapers are actually making a little bit of a living because they're just reporting on what's happening locally, no opinion, and selling ads for what's going on, in your local area. So while I know that you just throw it away, Pat.
Yes, I do. I pick it up directly from the driveway, and it goes directly into my trash.
What's happening in your local?
No,
but I mean, they actually are starting to thrive a little bit because of that.
There's a school board meeting at 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
I mean, if you
in
cared,
the conference room of the local library,
if you cared.
I don't care. I do
if
not
you cared
care
about the coupon at the Ace Hardware. Maybe you know.
But when people realized that they weren't getting they weren't getting news, they were getting opinion from all of these publications. And it got so bad that the editor of Newsweek actually said this about the left-wing president of the United States.
I mean, in a way, Obama's standing above the country, above the world. He's sort of God. He's
I mean, you've lost all credibility. On. You know, there's more credibility in that once a week newspaper that shows up on my driveway.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, come on. At least I know there really is a school board meeting in the conference room of the library Thursday at 7.
Thank you.
So also, this may be pretty good news. Washington and Beijing supposedly have agreed to abandon the trade war and back off imposing tariffs on each other. That's according to the Chinese state media. So I don't know if the president is going to admit this or if he's just going to continue his stance that, we haven't done it yet, but we're going to. The announcement came after high-level talks in the U.S. Capitol followed months of tension. Vice Premier Liu He, who led Chinese negotiators. Yeah, he's one of my favorite Chinese premiers, vice premiers. He said the two sides reached a consensus, will not fight a trade war, and will stop increasing tariffs on each other. He called the agreement a necessity, but added, at the same time, it must be realized that unfreezing the ice cannot be done in a day. Solving the structural problems of the economic and trade relations between the two countries will take time. That so this would be really good news.
Sounds good.
All those products that you get at Kmart, hopefully they won't be going up in price by about 20% if this trade war is in fact off now. 888-727-BECK. More Glenn Beck program coming up with Pat and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
With Pat and Jeffy today. Glenn's on vacation this week. We were talking about the desensitizing of people to human life and how abortion fits into that. I don't see how it can't fit into that, because you can't keep telling people that sweeping a baby out of somebody's womb is okay and not have that make an impact in their thinking. So this is a pretty interesting story in Virginia. A doctor who slipped an abortion pill into his pregnant girlfriend's tea just sentenced to 20 years in prison on Friday.
Think of that.
But he'll serve only 3 years. Brooke Fisk was dating Sikander Imran when the Arlington, Virginia doctor slipped a drug into her tea he knew would cause her to have a miscarriage. Here's the interesting part of that. Why is that a crime? You basically got rid of some tissue
inside of her,
right? I mean, who knew what that was going to be? It wasn't a human being.
It's only tissue inside of her if she believes it is.
That might have been a clump of broccoli. Could have been a Volkswagen.
It's possible
a beetle growing in there. I don't know what that was. It might have been a shoe. You're going to sentence a guy to 3 years in prison for removing a shoe? Come on.
Oh, not me.
She was 17 weeks pregnant when she went to visit him, and they were going to discuss raising the child. And instead, he gave her the abortion pill. Wow, is that despicable? Surprising, though, because
who knows?
With the attitude, again, that the law has toward the fetus, it's unbelievable that you can be sentenced that way. I guess the only problem here is it wasn't her choice.
Yeah, got to be, right? So he, you know, I mean, he was the one. He ended up pleading guilty to the fetal homicide.
Yeah, he had his medical license taken from him, and of course he's going to be spending some time in jail. He claimed depression made him do it. So it is, and it's interesting because oftentimes, even in liberal states, when someone has killed a pregnant woman, they have been charged and convicted of a double homicide. Well, how do you have it both ways like that?
They do.
Either that's a baby and we all know it is, or it isn't. When are we going to make that determination? It's critical that we actually definitively define that is a human child inside your body, because obviously it is. And anytime
Everyone knows.
Everybody knows
it's
it.
Not a piece of broccoli. It's not a shoe.
It's none of these things.
It's not asparagus. It's not any of that.
It's human life, and you can't deny that fact. You're denying science, and we're the ones the left always accused of being science deniers. And yet they deny that very basic science. 888-727-BECK. We were talking about the Al Gore speech at Maryland and Hillary's at Yale. Here's a little bit more
so good
of the Al Gore that we prepared for you.
There are, I know, a great many supporters of President Trump in this audience. I do understand that.
He does understand that.
As one of his supporters put it on television, he said, the way I look at it, Donald Trump is chemotherapy for America. Well, in medicine and in science, some experiments are terminated early for ethical reasons.
Oh, my God.
He worked on that a long time. Man.
He did. Or somebody did. One of his people worked on that for a long time. Speaking of denying science, there's Al Gore talking about terminating the president, presidency early.
So good.
So amazing.
So good. He also, he talked, of course, he said, you know, he teased the climate change talk, but he did talk about every day on the news. It's like taking a walk through the book of Revelation.
Did he say that again in this particular speech? Pathetic. That is pathetic. More Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's on vacation this week. At noon Eastern, immediately following this show wrapping up, you can join me on my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, blazeradio.com. Also on the iHeartRadio app and, you know, probably shortwave radio somewhere or other. It's pretty much everywhere.
A lot of people love the show.
Well, everybody loves the show.
A lot of people. A lot of people.
Our gas prices have just hit $3 a gallon on average nationwide. It's starting to get painful again.
It's starting to look like, I mean, when you fill up the tank and it used to be that, you know, the 25 is now 35, 35 or 40,
Or 50.
You start thinking, wait a second, what's going on here?
If you have a fairly big tank,
yes,
it gets painful.
Yes, it does.
It's like in the $60 range. The average price of regular grade gas jumped 10 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks to $3 a gallon nationwide on average. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg said the price has spiked 41 cents over the last 3 months.
Yeah, it's going up fast.
The increase is largely driven, he says, by higher crude oil costs and the phasing in of summer grade gas, which is used to prevent smog. And of course, in places like California, where they've got, what, 82 blends of it or whatever, it really spikes. And in some areas in California, is over $4.50 a gallon already. Last week, my oldest daughter was on vacation with her family in California, and they had rented an SUV. And so those have big tanks.
Yes, they do.
And so when they went to fill it up, it was $4.69 a gallon. To fill up the Suburban, it was $150.
Ooh, $150.
That's insanity. If you had to do that once a week, that's $600 a month. Yeah, that takes some serious budgeting.
Yes, it does.
To be able to afford that. That's ridiculous.
And that's what's so good is when you see all the government officials driving around in 8 SUVs.
Yeah, you love that, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I know that they're using...
You just want to tip your cap to them. Say, hey, nice job. That's
they
great.
They must be using a different blend.
I don't know how anybody lives in California, frankly.
I don't know.
If you're not a billionaire, how do you live in California? The cost of living is just out of control.
Over the top.
$4.69 a gallon for gas, and then you're paying... You know, $1 million for 1,000 square feet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're lucky to get 1,000 square feet for $1 million.
It's unbelievable.
And that's a tear downer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to buy that, but we're going to tear it down and rebuild.
I don't even want to tell you, if you live in California, what $1 million will buy you here in Texas. Oof. You don't want to know. But it's more than 1,000 square feet. I will guarantee you that.
I guarantee you it's more than
a million-dollar home
feet.
Still looks like $1 million home.
Yes.
In Texas. And it should. Yes, it should. It's ridiculous that if you're just starting in life, you got to leave the state, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
I mean, if you're just getting out from under your parents' wing, you got to leave and go somewhere else. You have to, because where are you going to live?
Yeah, there's no other way to go, right?
How are you going
to
afford it?
To do.
You know, you're just starting out with your barely livable wage, and then you got to fill up your gas tank. So it's going to be...
You're done.
Let's say you don't even drive an SUV. If you're driving an economy car, it's going to be 50, 60 bucks every time you fill up. Just unaffordable. I don't know how they do it. That is a screwed up state. And when it breaks into three screwed up states...
Even better.
Imagine.
Even better. The goodness then.
Then we'll have four new super liberal communist senators, which would be awesome. So please, California, break into three pieces, because that would fix everything.
What do you think
country.
We just break it off?
I'd rather see that happen than go into three states.
And not literally break it off. I don't want to see the state the continental shelf.
But become like another Canadian province, however many provinces they have.
Or Mexico.
Right, or Mexico. Sure.
You split it in half. We'll give the top half to Canada, bottom half to Mexico. We'll call it even.
Man, it's amazing. That's why Texas is still, is so great. The cost of living, the mindset of people, the freedom. I mean, yes, we are seeing some erosion of those things,
yes,
too.
Yes, we are.
But it's not California yet, thank heaven. Knock on wood. Or Formica. Swedish town has announced this week that the mosque in their town will be allowed to feature a call to prayer on Fridays, provided the calls don't exceed 110 decibels.
Good.
Or 45 decibels as heard from inside your house. The mosque was kind of a controversial situation, with the leader of the Christian Democrats there instructing local politicians to vote against it, and the head of one of Sweden's leading Jewish organizations supporting the mosque on the grounds that not allowing the call to prayer would damage integration. Although the decision is now a done deal, the controversy is unlikely to die down, because this same town has twice not allowed the right to ring church bells.
Right.
On the grounds that it would be disturbing to area residents. Sorry, the church bells are disturbing. But you can have the call to prayer.
I mean, how many church bells do you need?
Really,
if there's
one church bell and it rings, and then...
Yeah, but if there's a lot of churches...
I don't think this is going to be like a thousand churches ringing bells all at once, but... But the priest,
kinda sad.
Priest at the church said the request to ring church bells was denied in the 1990s and again in the 2000s. And they just have one small bell located inside the church, which the priest said sounds good but can't be heard from far. So the mosque is allowed. How many times have we seen this kind of thing?
A lot. More than
over and over and over again.
More than we like, no question.
Now, I don't know if it's just one call to prayer, because doesn't the call to prayer happen seven times a day? They're doing it on Friday, so maybe it's just the once. But again, the inequality there of everything that the Islamic community wants seems to be granted. And then the Christians seem to be shut down on a pretty regular basis.
It does seem that way. Yes, it does. And that's very frustrating. And it seems like if we don't have the call to prayer, we'll have integration issues. Okay.
But you have plenty of Christians and you don't want any more? You don't want
any enough?
No more Christians coming to town. We've got our fill of you people.
I am tired of those Christians, man.
And it
all
seems
the
like
time with the bell.
Yes. Yes, it only rings once, but still, it's way more than enough. Way more than enough. In my town growing up, we had the cathedral that I think on the mean streets of Helena. It was one of three of its kind in the world. And every hour on the hour, it would ring. And the bell would sound and it would play dun, 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 dun. And then it rings once for 1 o'clock and twice for two and so on. And it happened every hour. And I just got used to it, as everybody in the town did.
Yeah, you just
and
even and look, there's
and you come to kind of like it. At least I did. I liked it.
And look, you know, you have. I mean, we all and obviously grew up in you know different times, but churches rang their bells on Sunday. Guess what? That's the way it goes. And if you know, if you have a mosque and they have the call to prayer, then do the call to prayer.
Yeah.
Why is that? I mean,
right.
Okay.
But you can't allow one and not the other.
Right.
Except in Sweden, you can.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
I guess if you discriminate against the right people, it's fine.
It's okay.
Don't discriminate against the wrong people. And that's the way it's trending everywhere. And that's what's so agonizing about it. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy coming up for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who is vacationing this week. 888-727-BECK. We were just talking about the call to prayer in this Swedish town, which has been okayed. The Muslim call to prayer is fine, but they have denied a church ringing their bells twice in the last 20 years.
Well, they're too loud. They're annoying.
Let's compare. Because we do have the sound of church bells.
Nice.
Compared to the call to prayer. And I think you'll find one is definitely more annoying than the other. Here is the Muslim call to prayer. Oh, this is the church bells, obviously. Church bells. Yep. And I don't know that it would ring that many times.
They usually do, though.
But they do, yeah. I mean, and depending on what's going on, are you marking time or are you just calling people to church?
Right. That seemed to be that they were calling people to church. Yeah.
And here's the call to prayer.
Come on, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Okay.
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة.
So there you go. Just a little sample there for you. You tell me which is the more pleasing of the two.
They're both beautiful.
They're both beautiful. Let's say they're both they're equally beautiful.
That's where I'm at.
And maybe they should allow both the church bells and the Muslim call to prayer in this little Swedish town. I don't know, but
I mean, you commented almost as if,
mm-hmm. as if,
I mean, that's,
as if I favor one over the other.
Correct.
That's weird. Also, a Christian pastor has confronted a West Virginia middle school after his daughter came home with an assignment that asked her seventh grade class to write their submission to Allah as their one true God and write that in Arabic calligraphy.
Yeah, you'd know.
Jeez. One person complained about this, and he's a pastor. But they were asked to practice calligraphy by copying the Arabic form of the Shahada by hand. The Shahada is the Islamic profession of faith that declares belief in one true God and Muhammad being a messenger of God. So Brielle Penkoski, a student at Mountain Ridge Middle School, Gerardstown, West Virginia, Brought the assignment home, showed it to her dad, who is a minister. I saw the assignment of writing the Shahada in Arabic. Their excuse was calligraphy.
Right, of course.
Sure.
Of course it is.
And so he said, no, that's not happening. My daughter is not doing that.
Good.
Now, his daughter had told him that if she didn't do the assignment, she was going to get a detention slip. So she'd have to go to detention if she didn't do it. So the dad complains, and they said, that's optional. And you know it wouldn't have been.
No way. It was not optional.
It would not have been if somebody hadn't complained.
Correct, because the kid was genuinely concerned about having to go to detention.
And it always amazes me how few people are concerned about this stuff.
We had one person?
One parent complained, when you would think that every Christian there would be knocking at the door of the principal of this school.
I also going to ask yourself, the involvement in your children's education, just a tad.
Yeah.
Just a tad. I mean,
we've talked about that a lot. That you have to know what's going on in your kid's school.
Just a little bit.
You have to.
A little bit.
You have to talk to them about what they're learning, because otherwise, you're never going to know of all the indoctrination going on in their life.
I mean, we talked about some of the problems with these, you know, with the mass shooters. And I know it brings, you know, full circle back to the mass shootings. But, you know, and I know it's an old song of where were the parents? But really, where were the parents? I mean, I just asked my question.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize that there are plenty of things that happen that go under the radar that parents miss that you couldn't see. Got it. Understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But many of these children who cause harm to other people
are troubled, and you know it.
Tell me you don't know something is wrong with your kid.
Yeah.
Well, there's something bothering your child.
In this particular case, the parents claimed he was a quiet, sweet boy. They were just stunned that this would happen. They're confused. They had no idea.
Right.
It's hard to believe.
Right. And one parent complains about a school project.
That's why we're in the shape we're in.
Thank you.
Because it's going to get worse if we don't stand up for our rights. If you are they doing a Christian project at school where, you know, you're talking about Jesus being the Savior? You know they're not.
No way.
No, they're not. They're not going to do that. For some reason, it's okay. Everything's okay with Islam. But if it were to be done by Christians, it'd be completely shut down. Separation of church and state. Everybody would be screaming top of their lungs.
Right.
But nobody ever does when it's Islam.
Yeah, nobody ever does.
I just don't understand. By the way, over the weekend, it's amazing, but in Venezuela, during the sham election they just had, Maduro won again.
I was just going to congratulate Maduro on his nearly 70% victory.
Almost 70%. Now, there are a couple of factors went into that. One, he controls the election board and everybody who counts the votes. Two, one of the opposition parties banned the election. Encourage their people not to participate. Well, then you're just giving Maduro a better chance to win.
Right.
Three, several of the candidates were banned from being in the election. So maybe it's not quite so surprising that Maduro won another term. But here's the real reason he won. Do you know that the devaluation of the Venezuelan currency is only at 99% right now?
Is that it?
Yeah. Under Maduro, the Venezuelan currency has only dropped 99% in value. And the other thing is, inflation is completely under control. It's just 14,000% this year. Everything's fine in Venezuela. 14,000%? That's fantastic. It's not 1,000,000%.
No, it's not.
It's not a billion not 15, percent.
15,000 is not either 15,000% either.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
And I tell you another thing, my friend.
Socialism works.
This is America's fault.
That's what he says.
Okay. This is not Venezuela's fault.
Right.
This is not Maduro's fault. Maduro's doing the best he can with what he's got.
He's doing a great job. But it's the American intervention.
The American intervention. That's
meddling
the
in the affairs of Venezuela that has messed up their economy.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what he ran on.
I mean, it's bad.
It is bad. Oh, it's very, very bad.
Horrific in that country. And remember, we talked to Dinesh D'Souza's wife, who is from Venezuela and has family there. And she talked at length about how bad it was in the cities. But
and this was a long time ago. This was a couple of years ago.
Talked about how bad it was in the cities. But where a lot of her family and people that she knew lived in the countries, it was still okay.
Yeah, that's not the case anymore.
No, it is not. It's not.
People
it's
are
not
starving
at all.
Nobody has, a lot of people don't have jobs. They can't get food. They can't get medicine.
Bad.
They're crossing the border trying to get help, medical help.
What's good is they don't have anything that they could use for income in the world in Venezuela. Some countries have
oil.
Venezuela has oil?
Yeah, yes, surprisingly, what? Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. So,
Venezuela has oil. In fact, they're an OPEC oil country.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird. They should be doing well. But again, that's our fault. That's not socialism's fault.
That's socialism's fault.
It's just, if we leave them alone, they'd be thriving on their socialist system.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leave them alone.
And I'm okay with that, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Program.
This is Pat Gray. Thanks for joining me on Glenn's show. Noon Eastern, right after this show. Right after the Glenn Beck show wraps up, join me on my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, every weekday on the Blaze Radio Network, blazeradio.com, and the iHeartRadio app, and just about every possible app available.
Not just about.
Every single one.
Everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's everywhere, just like Chicken Man. Today at noon Eastern, blazeradio.com, 888-727-BECK. Wasn't it an exciting weekend?
It's about time.
We should have led with this because
still,
such a beautiful day. My heart has still not slowed down and beating in my chest for the royal family. Oh, it was so wonderful.
Yes, it was.
To see it and to experience it. And well, I didn't, but I heard about it afterward, and I just wish I would have woken up on time. But it's just, you know, it's the time difference in London.
I don't know, you probably could have just recorded it and played it back.
Yeah, I wish I would have. Darn it.
I mean, it's a little bit different if it's not live.
Dang,
you don't get to experience it live.
Oh, darn, I wish I would have done. But Harry and Meghan are now married.
I know.
What a beautiful event. It was a beautiful day.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. Her dress was beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
The kids.
Such a lovely bride.
And it was so nice of Prince Charles to step in and walk her down the aisle. And
yeah, what was the deal with her dad?
Her dad couldn't make it because he had heart problems and was going to be.
Oh, really?
I mean, that was what they said.
Are they estranged or something?
Yeah, there was some issue brought up. But I'm not quite sure if he was actually going to come or not. And then he had a supposed heart attack. And
Glenn was talking about this last week, that he was saying they were somewhat of a white trash family. I mean, I have not looked into any of it, so I don't even know that much about them. I just, from what he said, it sounds like they've got an interesting clan.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And she's an actress, and I knew this from Stu because he watches Suits, and apparently she's on that show.
Yes, she is.
Or was. Is she still on?
No.
Or it's got,
no,
okay.
The last season she's on is this one. This last one.
Was she killed off? What happened?
No, I think she's just going to, I think, you know, she's the just leaving will probably say, she's going to marry a royal.
Right. Yeah. And now they're reporting that, In Touch magazine's reporting she's pregnant.
I don't know.
It happened fast.
I don't know. I think maybe the line was, what I saw with that is that maybe the line was, I can't wait to have children, or I can't wait to have a baby, or something like that. And
So they just
reading
assumed
into that, that she's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
I think.
Okay.
But even if she is, I mean, they
it's
got
beautiful.
Married
Isn't
on
that
Saturday.
Wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yes.
They were married on Saturday.
Right.
English time. UK time.
Right. So they're ahead of us. So it makes sense that
you.
She'd be pregnant
thank
now. Because, yeah, they're eight
the
hours
time,
ahead
the
of
time
us.
The time frame works.
If you missed the coverage, this is the only coverage I've watched because it was great. It's Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon in their character of Cord and Tish. They covered the royal wedding, and here's just a little snippet of their coverage.
I'm hearing something. Here they come. There they are. They're out. They're out of the church. This is real, folks. These two are not. There's the kiss. They just kissed. They just kissed.
So good.
And that was a lovely,
wonderful,
real moment.
Oh.
Look at the elegance.
Oh, she
wonderful
is
stuff.
Stunning.
She is stunning.
And look at Harry.
The dress is gorgeous.
Madly in love.
We saw the kiss at the top of the stairs. It was right there.
Oh, look.
Right there.
Oh, look at that
look
train.
At that. Oh.
That is probably a 80 to 100 to maybe 1,000 foot train. Once again, that's the moment we've all been. One small kiss for man, one giant kiss for mankind.
Really good.
I love that because that's how breathless and
really
ridiculous the coverage is.
Really bad. There were some great fun time memes on the internet throughout the entire wedding, though, which was fun. And I did actually watch a 6 minute and 31 second video of the entire, you know, like a recap of the royals' day, you know, of the from the beginning to
yeah.
showing up at the wedding and the stars and then the post wedding. And during the whole time of that 6 minutes, I kept, and I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but I kept thinking that I wanted the Game of Thrones dragon to show up and just burn them all.
Oh, that's a nice thought.
Thank
Jeffy.
You.
That's
thank
very
you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
It brought a little tear to my eye. That was so tender and loving.
That's how much love I had for the whole thing.
It was interesting to see who all attended. George and Amal Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
David and Victoria Beckham. Oprah Winfrey. James Carden. Every progressive, every liberal you can think of.
Are you forgetting Elton?
Elton John and his husband, David
and Idris Elba was there, and he actually, I think Idris was the DJ at the party at the after party.
Who was the DJ?
Idris Elba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was there for the wedding, and then
big actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, big time actor, and he's all the suit stars were there.
Oh, I bet they were.
They were all there in line, man. You got to get their faces in the crowd. There
is Idris Elba. Was he on Suits?
No.
No. Okay.
No. And one of the things, and the Oprah thing, oh my gosh, I saw Oprah post some video of her thanking the people that made her dress because she was so thankful they worked all night long to finish the dress because it originally came in a wrong color. And I thought, man, am I living in a different life?
Yeah, because...
Am I living in a different life?
You know, she's a big income equality person.
Yeah, I know.
And they would have treated anybody that way. They would have worked through the night for any of
right?
us. You know that.
The wrong color.
Right? I love how these people are always screaming about income inequality.
Gosh.
And then live like royals. All of them.
All of them do. And, you know, and look. Good.
Right. I don't care.
For them.
I don't care. But they do,
they
supposedly.
Sure do.
They supposedly sure do. Which is what makes it, you know, so hypocritical and ridiculous. But a lot of stars. And it's interesting because apparently the Trumps were not invited. And the Obamas were. Now, I don't know that the Obamas attended.
They did not.
But
no, they did not. They
yeah, because they're not on the list
attend.
Here. So.
Yeah, they decided not to attend.
Do we know why? Did they say why?
I don't remember what the exact quote was, but it was just them being nice and not wanting the, you know, cause a stir.
Not wanting to distract from that beautiful day because it was also beautiful and wondrous.
And, you know, look, the royals might be something, but they're not God like Obama. So if he shows up, I mean, he's the one that's taking the news, right?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Probably would have. Stolen some thunder.
Yes, he would have. But he's friends.
The media falls all over
him. Him and Harry are buds, so.
Are they?
Yeah.
They're, you know, the royal family is pretty liberal. As we see from Prince Charles's babblings all the time on climate change and socialism. Thank heaven he's not an actual ruler.
The apple has not fallen far from the tree.
No, I'm sure it hasn't. I'm sure. Yeah, it's, but I don't care about the wedding. I don't care about the royals. And I don't know why. I mean, 30 million Americans watched it.
Well, we had 30 million. We had television crews, actual morning shows, dress up as royals and show off and over there recording the wedding. And they were not as good as Will.
No, of course not.
I'll guarantee you that.
And they were all wearing the goofy British hats.
Agonizing.
And, yeah, it was. It was. How much CO2 was put into the, you know, and they're so concerned about it. How much CO2 was dumped into our atmosphere from people flying over for that stupid wedding? A lot. Do you think George Clooney and his wife flew over coach? No. No, they didn't.
Well, he's got a place in London, right? So maybe he didn't have
to
fly. Yeah.
Oh, maybe he was already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was already there. And Oprah probably came in early. But
yeah,
she,
and Oprah
but
probably Oprah, flew coach as well.
Well, I mean, you know, Oprah just took Delta in.
Or Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, she just said, just hopped to Southwest into London. You can count on that.
She took Southwest because you can get two bags on the flight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to
no
have
extra
that.
Money. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Right. So, yeah.
And she was hoping that. Then she realized that the dress was the wrong color and the whole thing went down after that.
And then they worked through the night for her to fix that.
I know.
Which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice.
She looked beautiful.
She did.
Was she there with Stedman or whatever that guy's name is?
I didn't see any picture of her, she was by herself.
Alone.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I know.
Maybe, I don't know.
The person that was with her probably is the one that ordered the dress the wrong color, so yeah, he kicked her out.
All right. 888-727-BECK. More Glenn Beck with Pat and Jeffy coming up.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program, along with Jeffy. You know, you don't have to be a star, baby, to be in my show. And now, you don't have to be a customer, baby, to use Starbucks bathroom.
Is that the new Starbucks ad?
Yeah,
I love it.
It should be. Should be. I give that to them for free. If they want to use that, go ahead.
On Saturday, they announced that any customer, and really
anybody,
Is welcome to use Starbucks spaces, including restrooms, cafes, patios.
That's great.
Regardless of whether they make a purchase.
How wonderful.
Isn't that good?
That's great.
I mean, I think
every homeless person in Seattle now should go to Starbucks when they need to have a bathroom break. You got to go into Starbucks, sit there maybe all day long on the patio.
Seattle,
enjoy the scenery. Don't buy a single thing.
Don't buy a thing.
I loved it because when the CEO first made the announcement that they were going that direction, he said, but, you know, we don't want to become a public restroom. Well, it's too late for that.
Too late for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of reminds you of, the restrooms along the highway.
Uh-huh.
You know, just stop in. You don't have to buy anything. There's stuff there for you to buy if you want to.
I'm going to go in there all the time when I have to go. I'm going to make it a point to drive by Starbucks every time I have to go.
Can I help you, sir?
Nope, no thanks. Just here to use your restroom.
Oh, okay.
Me and my whole family. I brought the family.
There's only one restroom. It's a long line. We'll wait. Just clog that whole store up, man.
Yep, they're going to have homeless people bathing in their sinks. I hope they do. I hope they do because they deserve it. This is just ridiculous. The Starbucks mentality is just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're reaping what they sow.
Exactly.
They most definitely are. And, you know, good. But it's too bad because, you know, once in a while I don't frequent Starbucks,
you go every once in a while.
I do go every once in a while. And mm-hmm. it's nice to be able to go in and sit down and meet with whoever you have to meet with and drink a cup of coffee and relax a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, it's, I often figured, I didn't actually know, but I often figured, hey, we're going here. You purchase a product and then sit down and relax while you enjoy that product.
Yeah. Well, that's old think. That's capitalist think. Sorry. No, you can't. I mean, that's elitist nonsense, what you just spewed there.
I apologize.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I am, but I am now. I shouldn't have even said it.
No, you should not have. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to George in Pennsylvania. George, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Pat. First of all, it's great to hear you back on the air with full energy, and it's even good to hear Jeffy occasionally.
I think thanks.
Thanks.
The point I wish to make here is with respect to rules and respect for life and things like that, people, and I don't want to say single out liberals in the past, but they rebelled against rules. They don't like standards being set for them. And now we're calling for a return to some standards, returning to civility, returning to respect for life and things like that. And that's going to be a hard sell. It's going to be hard to get people to respect that going forward. And I'm just not real hopeful of it, even if they want to sit there and caterwaul and complain about it.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to imagine we're going to go back to that. Civility is pretty hard to recapture once you've lost it, and it seems like we pretty much have. Definitely,
that's for sure. It's
also a matter of how do you set the standard? How do you get people to agree? And it's almost like the only time that they call for civility is when some of them in their group are the ones that are on the business end of a gun being shot.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, George. Exactly right. And the only time that they have any respect for human life is when they are attacking the U.S. Constitution. That's the only time that human life seems to matter to them, because other than that, they're full-on, full-frontal abortion advocates at all times, all day, every day. And then if the president says something about gang members being animals, oh, they're all offended by that. Wait a minute. Everybody's got the spark of God in them. Oh, really? Since when do you believe that? Like
what?
Nancy Pelosi's comments last week.
We're all God's children. Uh-huh. There's a spark of divinity in every person on earth.
Can you believe that? This was in response to the where she says that he called all undocumented immigrants animals. When he wasn't, he was calling MS-13 gang members who brutally murder their victims animals. But all of a sudden, she's all about the spark of God in people. Oh, okay. Thank you, Nancy. That's right. Your favorite word is the word.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's on vacation this week. 888-727-BECK. Weekend box office. Deadpool 2 finally displaced Avengers as the number one movie in the country. $125 million weekend. That's pretty good.
That's domestic.
Yes, just in America.
I mean, they did.
And Canada.
Yeah, I mean, they did 176 international.
Did they?
And they haven't opened in China yet.
Wow. So that's going to be
huge.
It's
monster.
He's funny, though.
Yes. But still, that's...
Avengers was number two. 28.6 million in 4 weeks. 4 weeks in, and they're still bringing in that kind of money. It's up to almost 600 million in North America alone. I finally saw that over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's good.
I'm going to have to soon, because my son has been really mad at me for not taking him yet. But I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it.
Really?
It's almost 3 hours.
Yeah, it's long. Yeah, it's long. And
we're going to the food one. I'm not sitting through that thing without food.
What a surprise. Wait.
I know. Whoa, I know. Normally whoa, whoa. I go.
Let me see if I can process that. Jeffy can't get through 3 hours without food? No way. What?
I know. Listen, I never realized it's that much of a shock. I got
it. Yeah, that blew me away. Wow. I liked it. Everybody knows there's a sad element to it, though, apparently. And
oh, no, everyone doesn't. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Everybody knows there's a sad element.
Oh, man. Thank you.
But it's a sham sad element.
It is?
I think
so. Oh, gosh.
Come
darn
on.
It.
You know it is.
Come on.
Well, do you know how many movies they have planned with all these people?
80 billion already. I mean, it's just,
14
it's never gonna
more.
End. It's never going to end.
Between this year and next year. 14 more.
And between that and then you've got the Star Wars sagas. Solo opens this week, right?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean.
The one guy alone, what's his name? Bucky, who is Captain America's friend. You know, that guy? Whatever character he is. And I think his name is Bucky. They just signed him. Marvel signed him to a 9-movie deal. So, do the math on the ending.
I just like to say, Marvel, listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to sit down and discuss a, 2 or 3-movie deal. You know.
Are you? Are you willing?
I'm willing to sit out.
Wow, that's...
You know, I mean, it's... Look, I don't want to speak...
I'm surprised your cell phone's not ringing already from Marvel.
If you're willing to, 9 years of Bucky, I'm not greedy. That's amazing.
But it's interesting when you consider what happened in the movie and what's happening with sequels. It doesn't really add up. But still,
It will, because they'll find a way to add it up.
Yes, they will. But it was enjoyable. I was interested to see that at number 20 over the weekend, 2001, A Space Odyssey was re-released. I didn't even know that. You seen that come to theaters?
No.
The 2018 re-release of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Wow.
Oh, that's because... Yeah, that's because it's the 50-year anniversary of it, I'll bet. Wasn't that released in 1968?
Space Odyssey probably was.
It's been 50 years... since that came out. Wow. My grandfather told me about that movie.
Mine too. 1968. April 3rd, 1968.
There you go. It's the 50-year anniversary.
Wow.
Wow, that's incredible.
1968.
It's incredible.
Wish I was born then. 1968.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we're in our 50s, we'll be middle-aged.
Thank you.
And that's something to look forward to someday. Yeah, someday.
Yeah, someday. Yeah.
What's the alternative to being middle-aged? Being dead. That's the only alternative, and I don't like that alternative. So, might as well look forward to it.
Yeah, you have to.
Speaking of entertainment, there's a lot of revivals of 1980s TV shows coming out. Have you noticed that?
Big time.
There's just no originality
anymore. That's been long gone.
None.
That's been long gone. That's the creation of the sequels, too, right? I mean, they don't need originality with the sequels.
Right.
Just keep cranking out the same story there.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV is the same way. I mean, they're hurting as well. They're struggling with trying to keep good writers on all the shows and good producers and good directors because you've got Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and everyone else, every other network trying to produce their own content.
Yep.
And they all want, everybody wants to have nobody wants to have a crappy show. So, I mean, it's tough these days.
If they could come up with good new programming, though, I think there's a niche there because Netflix and Amazon seem to only do new content that's basically R-rated.
I hate that.
I know you're fine with it. But it would be nice for family people and people who don't watch R-rated movies to see something else, to maybe get new shows that don't have the F-word and nudity in them. There is a small fragment of society, Jeffy. This is stun you. That wouldn't mind watching something, wholesome.
Oh, right. Now your next thing you're going to tell me you want church bells ringing on Sunday, okay?
Oh, no, that would offend way too many people. Way.
Now, I don't disagree with that. And believe there are some networks that are trying to do a little bit of that.
Well, I don't know. Are they? Because they're just bringing back the old stuff. Roseanne?
Roseanne's been great.
Has it? Are you watching it?
Yeah, it's been really good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're bringing back Murphy Brown.
Ugh.
Which I hate.
Oh, she's agonizing.
She's going to take on Fox and Friends.
Is she?
Oh, good. What a brave, brave thing to do. Really? You left-wing Hollywood types are going to take on Fox and Friends?
No kidding. Is they're bringing back What's-Her-Face to do that?
Candace Bergen, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, she's got to be 80.
If she's a day.
Come on.
I don't think she is
no
80, but
way.
She's got to be in her mid to late 60s, at least.
Oh,
she's 72. You weren't that far off.
No kidding. 72. I mean, I apologize for going hitting 80 for you, Candace. I apologize, but.
That's amazing.
I mean.
They're doing a reboot of Magnum P.I. that does not feature Tom Selleck.
That's a shame.
They're doing something called The Kids Are All Right, which is supposedly a ripoff of The Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
CW has rebooted Dynasty. They're already doing that.
Wow.
It's amazing. There's just nothing new. Might as well bring back Moonlighting. They done that yet? They can't get Bruce Willis probably at this late date.
I know.
He's not going to do it. Otherwise, I'll bet they would.
I bet they would, too.
I'll bet they would.
And plus, What's-Her-Face does not look the same. Just as a side note.
What was her name? Shepherd, Sybil Shepherd. Last time I saw her, she was on a promotional tour. She came into the studio in Houston. I was in Houston doing mornings. And I think I was still at KPRC in Houston. And she was doing a promotion. And I thought, oh, well, cool. Let's have her come in and talk. She wanted to.
Sybil Shepherd, right?
You know what the promotion was? It wasn't a book. It wasn't a movie. It wasn't a TV show.
Hair color.
It wasn't hair color. No.
No?
Mm-mm. Irritable bowel syndrome.
Have you known anyone besides Sybil been plagued with that? You'd be laughing on the other side of your face.
That's what she said. She was not pleased with my attitude that.
I bet.
And, you know,
I bet you she wasn't pleased with a lot of radio stations.
No,
bad.
I bet.
There's
I'll
no
bet.
Way you're walking into
you don't,
morning
yeah,
or afternoon.
You don't want to talk
shows.
About
Come
that.
On.
You want to talk about Moonlighting or,
yes.
you know, the last picture show or whatever. And all she wanted to talk about was irritable bowel
right.
syndrome.
And you're giving me irritable bowel syndrome if you're not going to talk about Moonlighting. I'll tell you that right now, Sybil. Okay, so welcome to the show.
Exactly.
Come on.
But she was nasty about it. She wouldn't have fun. She would not have any fun.
See?
Yeah. And I realize anybody with IBS is struggling with it.
I know, but
I get
if
that.
She were to have fun with it, she might spread the word a little bit better.
Right.
A little bit wider.
Right.
But then driving it home.
But she was not.
I mean, I realize that perhaps being on tour, she was irritable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And she was. More than just her bowels. She herself was irritable. 888-727 Beck. More Pat and
so
Jeffy
good.
For Glenn on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Thanks for joining me here on Glenn's show. Noon Eastern, right after this show wraps up. You can join me on my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, blazeradio.com, iHeartRadio app, the Blaze Radio and Television Network. 888-727-BECK. Big story today about the religious left, which... Is there really any such thing? Are you religious if you're on the left?
I mean, you certainly say some of the right things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that you believe it.
For instance, this pastor on the left who says Jesus never charged a leper a copay. Okay. Oh, good God. Oh, my gosh. Neither did he ever say that government should handle any of society's problems. Neither did he didn't say that governments should raise taxes on their people so that the government can redistribute wealth to the poor. No. Are we supposed to focus on the poor and help them? You bet.
Yes.
But it's directly. It's directly. Never did Jesus say, hey, give your money to the government. Let them squander some of it on turtle tunnels, and then some of it might funnel down to the poor. That wasn't the way.
But what about if you were just to give it to the government and they promise not to give any to turtle tunnels?
That's still not the way. Still not the way. Taking your money is not charity. When the government takes your money for taxes, that wasn't charity. How did I do anything? I didn't. I was forced. Right. And force is not a tool of God. It's a tool of the other side. And so that's where the religious left runs into problems. It's insane, but there's this huge movement now to reposition the words of Jesus into left-wing ideology, as if Jesus promoted socialism, which he did not. And it's also they're also talking about the 60 Palestinians killed by Israeli soldiers and how evil the Israeli soldiers are. Well, do you know out of those 60 people, 50 of them were Hamas terrorists?
Your point?
50 of them were Hamas terrorists? it's not a bad thing when Israelis kill terrorists.
No, it is not.
As far as I'm concerned.
And by the way, we weren't even, I mean, we heard the reports of them trying to give the guys the out that were flying kites to burn fields and blow up on top of people. And they tried to give those guys, and that, what does that Nazi figure mean to you?
Oh, they tried desperately. That was the NPR thing.
Yeah. And it was just absolutely agonizing. That guy gave him every way
every
out.
Opportunity, and he wouldn't take it. If you missed that, this is unbelievable. This guy, the NPR reporter's name is Inskeep. I think James Inskeep. And he's talking to a Palestinian about the Nazi kite he's flying. And he's trying desperately to help the guy.
Now, for all the suffering, some Palestinians have still been moving toward the border fence today. We're at one of the main protest sites. We've seen people moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. We've heard scattered gunshots, we presume, from Israeli forces. And we've also encountered Ahmed al-Bordani, who is 19 years old, and when we saw him, was holding a homemade white kite. Would you describe what that is?
This is a kite that's going to go to the Jews.
He said it's designed to float over the Israelis and catch fire.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Decorated with writing claiming Jerusalem for Palestinians and also with swastikas.
What does this thing mean to you? Why do you put that on there?
The Jews go crazy for Hitler when they see it.
The Israelis know that people are flying kites with swastikas. They know this. And they use it to discredit you.
Listen to that. The Israelis know this. They use it to discredit you. Now, they've discredited themselves. Yeah. But he's trying desperately to tell the guy, hey, you know, the swastika thing's not a good idea. Don't use that.
Say it means something else.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you here.
It's a painting of love. It's a painting of love.
Yeah. No, this is the American Indian symbol of goodness. That's what this is. That's what I thought it was.
To say this shows you're bad people. What do you think about that?
Sure.
This is actually what we want them to know, he says, that we want to burn them.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's despicable. But again, they can't help themselves because that's what they've learned their entire lives. This kid's 19 years old and he's been taught that his whole life. He's been taught that Jews are evil his entire life. They have it in their workbooks at school. They have it in their children's books in kindergarten. The Jews are made out to be pigs in all of their literature. It's ingrained in them. So they don't think there's anything wrong with it. So this guy trying to help him and trying to help craft his message, he's not going to have anything to do with
that.
No
way. He doesn't care.
He doesn't know that it's wrong. He doesn't think it is.
Yeah, he doesn't think it is. And he's not ashamed to say that it's...
Not ashamed at all. No. Because he believes everybody feels that way about him. It's pretty amazing.
That is one of many views we've heard in the last few days in Gaza, where at least 60 people were killed yesterday in protests.
He still tries to gain sympathy for
him.
At least 60 people were killed in protests.
Because Pat, that was one of many views.
One of many views. There's a lot of different views here. Yeah, all hating the Jews. Those are your views.
One thought we should burn the Jews. The other thought we should burn the fields that feed them food. The other thought we should just blow up everything that comes across.
Exactly. It's unbelievable what the American media is doing here. And I don't understand it. How is it the Palestinians with this viewpoint? How are they the ones you're relating to here?
I don't know.
It's the Israelis that we have so much more in common with. It's hard to relate to a people that has elected a terrorist organization to lead them and believes that Israel should be driven into the sea and has never believed in the two-state solution. They believe in a one-state solution.
Always.
Theirs.
Every deal you came to the table with, they said no to because
including the original deal.
Because they want more.
The original deal, which gave them a Palestinian state in 1948. But they wouldn't accept it because they wanted it all. And they wanted to drive Israel into the sea. And that's why they went to war with Israel in 1948.
If you believe in dealing with anyone, is in the old city, when we went there, you saw examples of the way they think of if you're willing to deal with them and say they've always believed that they'll get more from you if you are willing to deal. Like if I were to pick up this rock and go, hey, how much is this rock? And the guy says 50 cents. And I go, oh, 50 cents. Okay. And right then I'm okay. He goes, oh, did I say 50 cents? I meant that was 70 cents.
Right.
I mean, because you already agreed to 50.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go, ooh, 50 cents.
And you see that when you walk through the marketplaces.
All the time.
Yeah, that's what you get.
All the time.
Yeah.
So it's just like the deals with the two-state solution. They want... If you're willing to make
a deal? You're willing
to
give us a two-state? Yeah, we just want one.
Yeah, you're going to give us more. It's amazing.
That is kind of the mindset.
It is.
In fact, more than kind of. It is,
yes.
It is the mindset. And that's why it's so hard to come to a peaceful arrangement with them, because they don't want Israel to be a part of it.
And yet Israel is the bad guy.
Every time. Every single time.
Fascinating.
Which is why it's been so refreshing to have Nikki Haley as the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Because she hasn't put up with that.
No, she has not.
And then when the Palestinian babbling started last week in the U.N., she got up and left.
Great shot of her just walking out.
When have we seen that before from an American ambassador?
I don't know that we have.
I don't remember it if it's happened.
I don't know that we have.
888-727-BECK. Pat and Jeffy for Glenn.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy. In a private dialogue, the Pope is understood to have told Juan Carlos Cruz, who's a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of Catholic priests, told him that God loves gay people and it's fine to be homosexual. Now, of course, God loves gay people. God loves all people.
Correct.
You know, it's you love people. You don't stop loving them because they've done something you disagree with. Or that they've done something God disagrees with, if that's what you believe. But these comments are the most striking public acceptance about homosexuality ever made by the head of the Roman Catholic Church, according to the article. Cruz was a victim of Chile's most notorious pedophile priest, Fernando Caradima, who's now 87 years old, was found guilty of sexual abuse by the Vatican in 2011. So speaking to this victim, Cruz says he, the Pope, told me, Juan Carlos, that you are gay does not matter. God made you like this and loves you like this, and I don't care. The Pope loves you like this. You have to be happy with who you are.
Wow.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Yes, it is.
From the Pope. And it seems to contradict Catholic doctrine, doesn't it?
It's a tad.
And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the Catholic Church does believe that gay sex and all sex outside of heterosexual marriage is a sin.
It's wrong, yeah.
So, of course, you're still loved by God, obviously. But to say it doesn't matter, and it's also interesting to say that God made you like this, because then you're accepting the premise that you're born that way. And if you believe that it is a sin, if you believe Scripture, it would be difficult to come to the conclusion that you're born that way.
That you're born that way.
Because then you would have to believe that you were born that way, and then God expects you to deny your natural desires your entire life. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. That's a big ask.
That's a really big ask. It is.
And I guess, you know, you could ask it, but that's tough. That's a tough one. And I don't know. I mean, this is above my pay grade. I don't know if you're born that way or if it's, you know, or if something happens somewhere along the way. Is it nature or nurture? I don't know. But I would think that Catholic doctrine would say you're not born this way. But the Pope is disagreeing with that, apparently, if you're to believe this person. And this is how the conversation went. Now, the Vatican hasn't denied it. They haven't confirmed it, but they haven't denied it either. It's just another statement by this Pope that is interesting.
That is interesting. And it's clearly, a statement from this Pope, again, that, you know, creates a little controversy that goes against what Catholicism has preached for a number of years. Like, I don't know,
like
forever.
From the beginning. Yeah, from the beginning.
Right. And, I mean, according to this article, and it very well could be true. I mean, I've seen it before, but I mean, they talk about deep-seated homosexual inclination is, objectively disordered. And that's the way the church sees it. You know, you're supposed to mm-hmm. have a sexual act to the gift of life. And so if you go down the road of what the Pope said, then you're going against what, that's a big ask.
Yeah.
It's a big ask.
It is. If you're born that way and then you say it's still a sin, wow. You're right. Asking them to deny what they feel their right. whole life.
God already made you into a sin.
Or gave you the predilection to sin, for sure, because, it doesn't seem like the, I don't know.
No, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. He's responsible for all life.
Yep.
And so if he's responsible for all life, and you were brought into this world already a sin.
Mm-hmm. Now, you could deny that your whole life. Let's say you are born that way, and you believe it's a sin. Then in order not to sin, you would have to deny your desires your whole life and go the other way.
Right.
If you're a man and you feel like you're gay and you were born that way, you didn't want to sin because you believed it was a sin, you would have to fake it your whole life, right? You just right. have to go the other way. That's that would be, think of that from our standpoint as heterosexuals. What if that was a sin? And but that was your preference.
Right, right.
But you were supposed to marry a man, but you didn't want to. I mean, you know, think of that. That's difficult.
Yes,
it is. So that's a pretty interesting statement from the Pope. Whichever side of the equation you're on, that's a pretty interesting statement from the Pope. And he has said interesting things before along these lines. In 2013, when he was responding to a reporter's question about the existence of an alleged gay lobby within the Vatican, Pope Francis said, if a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge? But this is a much stronger statement than that. Much.
Yes. But the Pope, who am I to judge? I mean, the Pope is like next in line to God, right? I mean, that's their, the teaching is, you know, I mean, you have the bishops and the cardinals and the, the Pope and then God, right? I mean, we're talking that he's supposed to be next in line. He's the guy talking to him.
Right.
So I'm okay with you judging Pope. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, right? I mean, it's your deal.
I think he's saying, you know, God is the judge, not man.
I know, but you're next in line. Tell me what you think.
All right. 888-727-BECK. Wes in South Carolina. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Good.
So going backwards a little bit, conversation-wise, talking about the whole Hamas and Israel situation, people on the left are feeling bad and sorry for Hamas and making them out to be the victims and good guys. Doesn't it seem ironic that when Trump sort of made similar comments in Charlottesville that, you know, there were bad people on both sides, how the left lost their minds over that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Appreciate it. Thanks, Wes. The hypocrisy of the left knows no bounds. It just, I mean, there's no limit to it. It's pretty amazing. 888-727-BECK. And I mean, everybody knows what Donald Trump was saying when it came to the MS-13 thing.
Yes.
Because he was asked specifically about gang members who are crossing the border. And it's despicable. It's despicable that they're making that out of it. That he's talking about undocumented immigrants. He's not talking about all illegals who cross the border. And they knew it.
You're darn right they do.
And still they said this kind of nonsense.
We're all God's children. There's a spark of divinity in every person on earth. And that we all have to recognize that as we respect the dignity and worth of every person.
Right.
And as we recognize our responsibilities with that spark of divinity within us. And so when the President of the United States says about undocumented immigrants, these aren't people. These are animals.
About undocumented immigrants. These aren't people. These are animals. That's not what he said. That's not what he said.
You have to wonder, does he not believe in the spark of divinity, the dignity and worth of every person?
Wow.
These are not people. These are animals. The President of the United States. Every day that you think you've seen it all, along comes another manifestation of why their policies are so inhumane.
Inhumane. Oh, okay. Oh. This from the woman who is so pro-abortion. They don't want any restrictions on abortion at all. What about the spark of divinity in babies growing inside the womb? There's no spark of divinity there. There's nothing that says, hey, there's human life there.
Oh, sure. There's a spark of, you know, if the woman wanted it. Wanted to keep the tissue and let it, you know, develop.
Yeah, but that's all it is. I mean, you don't know that that's a human being.
No. That's what I'm
saying. Not right away.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that could be anything, as we've discussed. That can be anything. So, spark of divinity. What?
She is
unbelievable
ridiculous
from her. And from all of these abortion lovers who fight so hard for the ability to just snuff out human life. At any stage of a pregnancy, it's perfectly fine. But just calling somebody an animal, that's denying the spark of divinity. Okay. And again, they're all clear on the fact that Donald Trump was not saying that all people who cross the border are animals.
Yes.
They know full well he wasn't saying that.
And I know, you know, our illustrious other leader, Chuck Schumer.
Oh, yeah, his tweet.
When all of our great-grandparents came to America, they weren't animals, and these people aren't either.
Same thing.
Chuck.
Same thing. Chuck. And he knows better. They all know better. 888-727-BECK. More Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
Appreciate you joining me here on Glenn Show. It's Pat Gray. At noon Eastern, just a few minutes from now, right after this show wraps up, be doing. Join me for my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, blazeradio.com and iHeartRadio app. Shortwave radio, I think, somewhere too, probably.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it's everywhere. That's noon just Eastern, Blaze Radio and TV Network. We were talking about Starbucks and their new policy of allowing non-customers to come in and use the restroom.
I love it.
There's a story now from Hollywood that everybody's worried about, their customers are worried about Starbucks becoming a homeless encampment.
Yes.
Because everybody's welcome now. Everybody come on in.
Doesn't matter.
Come on in.
You don't have to purchase anything. We don't expect you to buy anything. You can come in. You can sit down. You can go to sleep. You can use the restroom. You can do whatever you need. As long as you're not there to harm anyone or yourself.
So, yeah, you can even sit at the tables and not buy anything, right?
Agonizing.
So when somebody comes over and asks you if you want anything, I guess you just say, nope, you're just sitting here.
No, I'm just sitting here. And normally they don't anyway because you go
to
the counter.
Yeah, that's true. They don't really
sit down. Yeah.
Right.
And I'd like to say that this will hurt, you know, Starbucks business, but every time something like this happens, I still go by the Starbucks. I go by two or three Starbucks on the way to work every day, and there's always lines. They're always backed up.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a lot to knock them off the top. There's no question. And they know that.
Larry Green said, if you go into a business and you just sit there and you don't buy anything, you're taking up space at the table, you could end up having a squatter's problem where you have just people coming in and staying.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to do that, they need to limit how long people can stay in there.
No.
Won't it be interesting to see how long it takes for them to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come in and sit for 30 seconds and then we're going to kick you out if you're not buying anything.
Right.
Because this will be this.
Absolutely. There's going to
be misused
despite having whatever classes they all had to take on diversity training. There's managers out there that are going to be going that work on commissions that dealing with employees and dealing with other customers that are going to say, OK, you've been here long enough. Hop sing your butt on out of here now. Let's go.
Yeah,
and we'll see what trouble they get into for that.
And I love the, by the way, the Hop Sing reference is so relevant to today.
It's an old Bonanza reference. It's an old Hop Sing. I love Hop Sing. It's one of my favorite.
Bonanza from 1968.
I never watched the stupid show. I don't know where it's from. I don't know what you're talking about there. Okay. I'm just saying I like the phrase. Oh, really? You're going to get me for Hop Sing, Mr. Kmart?
I am. Yeah, I did.
Mr. Buy Things at Kmart earlier in the show. Kmart doesn't even exist anymore.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. I meant Walmart anyway, but I may have said Kmart inadvertently. I don't know why. We don't have Kmart in Texas, but they still exist.
I don't think so.
They exist outside the state. Anyway, the changes at Starbucks were announced last week by the CEO, Howard Schultz. He said, we don't want to become a public bathroom. Well, you're going to.
Too late for that.
But we're going to make the right decision 100% of the time and give people the key because we don't want anyone at Starbucks to feel as if we're not giving access to use the bathroom. Wait, they lock the door on the Starbucks restroom?
Yeah, they usually do.
Really?
Yeah, they had.
Why would you? Now, if you have an open door policy and an open restroom policy.
Well, they're
policy,
not going to be able to lock it now, right?
Why would you lock it? Yeah, you can't lock that thing.
You're going to make me ask to use the restroom? How dare you? How dare you?
This is not going to work. And it couldn't happen to a nicer company.
I know.
But they'll be revising this. My guess is within a month. Within a month. All right, we'll see you tomorrow right back here on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.